Blog Talk Radio.
Good Saturday morning to all of you all. Oh my goodness. Welcome to the 93rd episode of Hand and Footprints. I am your host, Miss Ricky R. Jones. Welcome to June. And those of you who have been following me for the last 2 years, you know June, I absolutely love it because I did get a chance to dedicate it to the men. And we are definitely celebrating men all month long. So welcome to that. Those of you, this is your first time calling in, welcome. I truly appreciate it. You guys could have been anywhere, but you chose to be here with me. And I can't say enough thank yous for that. We're celebrating, like I said, the entire month of June, talking to our men and talking about their passion and what they're doing in our communities. And just, we really do appreciate it. And today's guest is like none other, okay? So make sure that you guys call in, 347-826-9723, 347-826-9723. Press the number 1 if you want to join the conversation. And if you're listening to us online, we appreciate you guys listening to us online, and you can shoot me a question or a comment on Facebook, and I'll make sure that I'll pass that on to our guests. So let's talk about our guest. First of all, this gentleman is an educator. He has his own tutoring services. He's a recent recipient of the BME Award, Passion for Education, especially when it comes to helping our kids. Because, you know, a lot of times we think, oh, well, you're an educator and you're just in the classroom. But in the classroom, it's just the classroom. But this gentleman goes in the classroom, he's outside the classroom, he's all over the place. Just all about that passion about helping our children. And what can I say other than welcome, Mr. Marvin Dutton. How are you this morning? Good morning.
Hey, how you doing? How you doing? Thank you for inviting me. Appreciate it.
Well, thanks. Listen, thanks for, agreeing to come on. So let's get started. Welcome to June. And first of all, congratulations on your award. I know you're very excited about that.
Extremely excited.
So now tell folks about Marvin Dutton. Who is he?
Well, Marvin Dutton is an educator. I'm an educator. I own a company, Marvin Education Services, and our mission is to increase the academic achievement of the students we serve. We provide high-quality, holistic educational programming to children in the Philadelphia area. And pretty much what I have decided to do is to leave my career as a teacher to focus mostly on these programs. And as you mentioned, I run a tutoring program, a school readiness program, and we have several proposals right now to do after-school programs as well. So we know that this is important work, and I'm a guy that's all about education.
And I'm glad. So now let's go back. How, because, you know, teaching is a thankless job. It really is. And being an educator myself, how did you decide that you wanted to be an educator? How did you get into this whole idea of teaching?
I think it started at birth. I mean, at birth, I had 5 younger siblings, and you know, it really started at birth with just the babysitting part at first. And then I joined a program called Freedom School when I was 15 years old. And so I started off as a junior servant leader, which is pretty much a high school assistant. Then I became a college intern and ultimately became a program director and a national consultant with the Defense Fund. I graduated from college, from Penn State, Edmonton, and I started teaching in the school system. And I decided to go back for my master's at Lincoln University to receive my master's of education. And I came out and became a second grade teacher, ultimately before settling with kindergarten.
So, I tell you, like you said, it's in your genes, it's in the blood. So now you've been in the classroom and you've taught grades. So what ages have you taught?
Well, I focus primarily on kids. My favorite grade was kindergarten because 80% of the brain develops by age 5. So I thought it was the most important grade to teach because I was building their foundational skills, and that is their letter system, their letter ID, identification at Wright-Hale County, just kind of building that foundation that would be there for the rest of their educational career. So I think that school readiness is extremely important. I'm thrilled that is now they understand that and they have the initiative to do universal pre-K. And I want to be right on board with that initiative. And in September, I'll be starting my school readiness program at Sankofa Freedom Academy Charter School. And I'll have an office based there at 2501 Kensington Avenue.
So now for those who are not sure or not familiar with school readiness is, could you explain it?
Okay, so school readiness is pretty much preparing your child for the first school. When your child in your school, they're supposed to know certain things. They're supposed to know how to say their ABCs. They are supposed to know select sounds, how to rational count, how to be able to really sit still and sit in an academic position. And so that's some of the things that we teach in my school readiness class. You know, pretzels, to how to sit in pretzel style, the ability to concentrate, the ability to focus. The ability to start picking up some of those sight words and those high-frequency words. And as a kindergarten teacher, I noticed that some students came in and they didn't know how to read already. And other students didn't even know how to spell their name or didn't know what the letter A was. And those students continued to play catch-up for their entire career. And I thought that wasn't fair. And so my goal or my mission was to say, hey, we got to kind of plug these gaps. You know, as a teacher, I saw that the traditional education model has been failing our students. I'm willing to provide the supplemental education services, especially for pre-K, because it's just such an important moment of time in education for a child's growth and development. Did I answer your question?
So now you're talking about the challenges that you face. What do you think the biggest challenge? Why are our kids not ready? Like, why are they not ready from the beginning? What do you think are some of the contributing factors?
I think it's access. I think they need more access. Universal pre-K is a must. And also, students are being miseducated, misunderstood, and also even misled by people who are positioned by those resources. That's for moving forward. I'm working closely with all of the stakeholders in Philadelphia, all of the stakeholders to ensure that their future is not determined by your zip code. A lot of times, children who come from their neighborhood receive a high-quality educational preschool experience. They may receive daycare, they may receive play care, but it's important that they receive high-quality school readiness in preschool before even entering kindergarten. If not, they're playing catch up against the other students who have received high quality education experience in school. So
now with Marvin's Education Services, do you work with the kids who are of this young age, or do you get them after they're playing catch up?
Well, what we try to do is work with all ages. So one program is my mobile tutoring service. This is K-12, where I send a tutor out to a student that may be struggling. You know, you guys will call Marvin Dutton at 267-575-3547. Of course, I'll leave my... But you call Marvin Dutton and you fill out an application. I send one of my tutors out to students. And most of the time, these students are already struggling, and that's why the parent is worried and they're calling me asking, you know, me to help them to catch up.
So you started this organization. How did you kind of get yourself, I guess, to the point where you can have parents call and you're working with schools? How did that come about? Because, I mean, you were already in the classroom, and if I'm not mistaken, you said you left the classroom and you started your business and everything else.
I'm actually, this is one of my last year, and I didn't announce this yet, so I'm announcing it right now. This is my last year. I'm still in the classroom. But as you mentioned,
okay.
I have received, I don't mean to cut you off, I apologize, but I have been receiving some notoriety with was for being a BME leader. You know, people are starting to take note of the work that I've been doing for so many years. As I mentioned, I joined Freedom School when I was only 15 years old. And so pretty much I've been dedicating myself to this field for my entire life. And so people have taken note of who I am and what I bring to the table in terms of education. And it's all about relationships. I've built relationships with a number of principals, a number of, you know, politicians and important people in the city of Philadelphia. And, yeah, I just think it's about being dedicated to the mission.
I'm glad you're dedicated to the mission, truly glad. What have you found now that you're, you know, now that you've been networking and this is your life's passion, what have you found to be challenging as far as getting the message out there of what people need? Because, you know, a lot of times people know they need something or they know that they're missing something, they have that feeling, but they don't know what it is that they're missing. And then they don't know if it is something missing, how do I go about finding the resource for it? So what have you found to be challenging getting the message out there that people, you know, our kids need all the services that they can get?
Well, one is it's just with people who are in position to make change, for them to look at our children as our children and to look at our children as assets and not liabilities, as assets. And if you invest into our children, then you will see a return on your investment. But when you look at them as assets, then you kind of, you know, overplace them in special ed, you miseducate them. So that's one challenge. We have to kind of change the narrative in terms of black boys and children of color. We have to change that narrative and tell the truth about how hard people are working out here. That's one. The second piece is trying to get the parents to understand the importance of education. And so I had to find my way around it. I had parents who, you know, they didn't want to pay for tutoring, but their children wore Jordans and they had cell phones, but they said they couldn't afford tutoring. So just educating that population. And so what I want to do is, if you fall under a certain, and what I am going to be doing is, if you fall under a certain income bracket, we'll provide the tutoring for freebie, because the child shouldn't have to suffer if a parent is not willing to invest into them. The child should have received a fair education.
Now, are you finding this, go ahead.
Just educating my targeted population on the need. You know, they know that they need help, but are they willing? Are they willing to sacrifice for their child? You know, is education important?
Right. It's this targeted population. Are you finding it that it's more, this population is more for people of color, or is it just all around? Is it socioeconomic? Is it ethnic-wise, or what are you seeing?
Well, MES works with all children. We work with all children. But what I do notice is that children who come from certain zip codes don't receive the same education as others who come from different zip codes. And so I have targeted children who are low-income neighborhoods, yes. But I am also willing to work with any child. We do have certain situations where a parent may just want their child to go from a B to an A. And they could be from an affluent home.
And it's just all about getting that message out.
Absolutely. This is the reason why I'm doing the interviews. This is the reason why I was on Word, PQ Radio, the Tracy Fisher Show, just kind of getting that message out, not just for MES, but just for education in general. You know, now is the time for you to stand up for your child, because if you don't pay for it now, if you don't emphasize the importance of education now, you'll pay for it later.
I don't know if you heard me or not, but I'll repeat the question again. What have you found to be the most rewarding since you're reaching out to the children and you're trying to help? What have you found to be rewarding?
the success stories, you know, tutoring a child that was labeled dyslexic and seeing that child grow one grade level just from tutoring, seeing that child identify all his letter sounds and sight words and being able to write, you know, his letters the appropriate way, and, you know, taking a child from one level to the next. What I try to do is I try to equip my students with strategies. And so let's take multiplication for an example. A lot of students struggle with multiplication. That is a skill. And what we focus on is providing students with strategies. And so let's take a problem like 5 times 8. No, it's not 5 times 8. It's 5 8 times. And when you know that, you can use your fingers to do 5 8 times. You can use tally marks. And so we equip the students with strategies. And when you see that breakthrough moment when a student is just flying through using your strategy, and then eventually they'll stop using the strategy as a crutch and be able to do the multiplication problems without using their fingers and tally marks. But those moments of success is what I'm most proud about.
For those of you who are just tuning in, welcome. Welcome to Hannah Footprints. What is your legacy? I'm your host, Ricky R. Jones. We are on June is all about the men. We're on with educator and CEO, Mr. Marvin Dutton, and we're talking about educating our young folks and getting them ready for school and everything else. If you have any comments or questions, please, by all means, those of you who are calling in, 347-826-9723. Press the number 1. Those of you who are listening online, I see you guys. Thank you. Make sure that you put your comments or your questions via Facebook so that I can get those on and we can have the discussion. So, Marvin, what's next? Like, what do you want? Like, I know you're dealing with the kids and you're talking about, you know, some of the challenges that you have with the parents and trying to change the mindset. Have you ever thought about or have you done services where you have kind of like, I guess, a tutoring for the parents and for the child itself? Because, you know, kind of showing the parents, all right, they go to tutoring, and after they finish the tutoring, you know, it's still the parents, it's still on the parents for them to come home and do the homework with them. And I hear a lot of parents say, I don't understand this new math. I don't understand, you know, I didn't have that when I was in school. How am I going to help out? And they want to help their kids out. So do you have or have you had services where you help the parents as well?
You know, what I like to do on my tutoring sessions is I like to, of course, have meetings with my parents. So we'll do an hour and a half of tutoring and then on the first evaluation, and then we'll have a half-hour session with the parents. And I like to also debrief and show them what I'm doing. You know, if I'm working on fingers and using tally marks, then I'll show the parent the strategy. I'll show them that the way that I teach it. Moving forward, I will be in my school readiness class. I will be providing my parents with a school readiness packet to show them the high-frequency words, sight words that we're working on, show them how to use different activities and give them tips on even how to speak to their teacher. You know, some parents need help just with tips on how to speak to the teacher. What is respectful and what is not respectful? And so what is disrespectful? So a movement place. Did I answer your question?
Yeah, it did. It really did. Yeah. And that's good because, like you said, you do hear a lot of the parents say, oh, my gosh, like, I don't understand. And I've heard it, you know, even going to parent-teacher meetings and parent-teacher association things. You know, a lot of us joke, but really it's not necessarily the new math. It's just a different way of looking at it as opposed to how we all were taught. But I think those services for the parents are so critical because, like I said, they come, and I'm glad you're doing that. They come in, they send their child to the tutoring because I don't think there are many parents, honestly, and I don't think there are many parents out there who just really don't believe that their children should be educated, like they should get the best and do their best and everything else. I believe that they're out there. But I think a lot of us, as parents, with all that we have going on, we get a little nervous. It's like, you know, because, of course, the kids don't come with a manual. We got to go with the flow and that type of thing. And I think some of our parents do become a little nervous because they want the success for the kids, but they're not sure how to do it, and they don't want to mess up. And then, too, you don't want to look like, oh, mom and dad don't know what they're doing when they're sitting here doing the homework with the kids either. So it's a lot that's going on, and I'm glad that you get a chance to show them. And with you showing them, you see this big light go off with the parents and the kids, too, because both the parents and the kids are owning this success. And I think that's great. I'm glad you do that. I'm so glad that you do that.
Thank you.
So now let's talk about your award. I mean, that is absolutely what you said. Yeah, let's talk about it. Tell us about it. Cause, I mean, I know because I follow, and we've had some great BME members on here on the show. So
it's a
fantastic organization and community, you know. So, but I want to celebrate the fact that, hey, you got your award. So tell the folks about that.
Right, and I was the only teacher to actually win it from Philadelphia. So we just had the orientation. I had the opportunity to become a part of this network of BME. It stands for Black Male Engagement. It also stands for just be. When we say be who, we say be me. It's just a caring community who are building neighborhoods up and prosperous communities and looking at our children as assets and looking at black boys as assets to the community. And I'm just thrilled, very thrilled to be a part of this network, to be a part of this community. I met some awesome brothers who I'm going to be doing some work with right here in Philadelphia, and even brothers from other cities who I'm looking to do work with in the near future. So I'm definitely excited, and I'm grateful for this opportunity to serve and for this opportunity to just be pushed out to the public and for people to take note of the work that I've been doing. You know, when they told me, I had to have a little emotional moment, because sometimes you do this work and you're just doing it out of the kindness of your heart. You don't really get a chance to, you know, get any attention for what you're doing. And really, when you're doing it, you're not doing it. Care about the work, care about the children. So when you're acknowledged, it's almost like, oh, wow. And I had to take a moment. I really had to take a moment.
And I'm glad you took that moment. I'm glad. And that's amazing that you're the first, not the first, but you're the only educator from Philadelphia, because we have a lot of great, you know, great teachers. But I'm glad, I'm so proud of you, and I'm so glad and happy for you.
Thank you.
And that's absolutely, you know, and you're a young man, and for you to have
Thank
this passion, that's why I was really glad that you were referred, and I started looking at what you're doing, and I have to say, young brother, I am definitely impressed. I'm thankful that you're out there doing it, doing your thing, So now, what is next? You have this award, you have your services going on. What is the next thing? I mean, where do you see yourself next year?
Well, next year, we have several proposals on board right now. So I'm looking to build my preschool, school-based preschool. One of our goals is to expand from school readiness to preschool. And with that preschool, we'll also have after-school programming for those early childhood children. I expect to expand to a number of schools. I expect to be on these initiatives with our local government. I'm very politically involved and have a relationship with a lot of the politicians and communities. I'm really looking to be a voice for education, the millennial voice for education in the city. That's where I see myself.
Oh, I wish you luck on that one. So now, how is it working?
Yeah, I know it's pretty ambitious.
Yeah.
I know it's pretty ambitious to be the voice.
You know, that's what we need. You got to believe it. You have to put it out in the universe. You have to say, I know I tell my students, what you see in the mirror, you have to put those things out there. You have to put those things into the universe and what you want to do and what you believe you can do. Because if you don't, if it doesn't sound right to you, if you can't say it, how is anybody going to believe it? How is it going to come to fruition?
That's right.
You know what I mean? So it's, you have to be able to put your image out there, what you believe you can do, and then go for it. So now,
I truly believe
with all of that, yeah, you do. How is it working with the politicians? Because I know, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, well, the politicians, you know, they are what they are, and they don't want to be bothered. It's all about what you can do for me. So how has it been, because obviously you've been successful with it, how has that been working with the so-called, you know, working with the machine, so to speak?
Oh, I mean, it's been great. You know, we have to have a voice at the table. And we see that. We didn't have a great turnout this election on May 19th. And I was disappointed by that. Because these people, especially with local government, they're making the most important decisions that will affect our children moving forward. And so it's important that we stay politically engaged. And, I mean, it's great, you know, moving forward. I just want to be on board with these initiatives that are coming out. I think the universal pre-K, I'm very excited about that. I'm very happy that people are seeing the importance of school readiness. And I look forward to being on board with that. But it's been great. I mean, I have a great relationship with Jason Dawkins. He's the state representative over in Hunting Park in Frankfort, and he's just awesome. Anything that I need, he's there. He's at the school. He shows up to school. He helps me with my company. Just a great guy who is really trying to make a difference. And so I don't want everyone to be so skeptical. You know, there is reason to be skeptical. I mean, it is, but we have to be engaged because there are good guys who you know, have power to make a difference. But in order for them to have political capital, they have to have a community that's engaged, that are backing them on these ideas.
Definitely. And like you said, people get skeptical, and I think the other thing, too, is just like how you're showing the parents that they can help their kids, too. It's the same thing with us in our community. You know, we complain and we moan and groan, but if we don't take the initiative, nothing will change, especially in our communities, you know, where our kids are, and it seems like it's our kids, you know, who are disenfranchised. So instead of complaining about it, you know, what does it take just to say hi to a politician, to your local rep, your local ward leader, just getting involved? It just takes that one step, and I think that would help a whole great deal. And I think, that's, like you said, it would help us get our voice to the table. Because if you don't open your mouth, it's like the proverb, a closed mouth doesn't get fed. If you don't open your mouth, you're going to starve. And that's what's happening with our kids. So now, with you working, you're working in the city and you're working with the school district as well. How has that been? Like, is the school district, are they really about helping the kids, or are they just kind of like caught up with everything, you know, trying to make sure that they do right by the kids and also make sure that they do right by the city? Like, how has
that
been?
Well, I have been working with the charter school. I don't mean to cut you. I've been working within the charter schools. I've worked at Kepra Charter School, Harambe Charter School, and also St. Kofa Charter School. So I've been working with charter schools, and I can say these schools, you know, are really working hard to educate their children. I don't have anything negative to say about any of these institutions, but I will say that from the top up, we have rules that we have to go by. We have testing that we have to give to our students, and a lot of times we focus a lot on standardized testing, and I don't think that is creating critical thinkers. And I think that we need to create critical thinkers in this era of education, not students who are able to look at a question and just fill out a bubble. No. And this is the reason why I started the company. We understand, you know, we help students to pass the SATs and do better on their PSSAs. We understand the standardized testing, but that's not the end to education. Not the education. We have to take a look at other things. You know, are we teaching these students to be business people? Are we teaching trades? Are we allowing the students to learn in a way that is need satisfying for them? Are we allowing them to access their own power? And so I would say no. I mean, to be honest, I would say no. As you know, the traditional education model of telling our student, and that's why MES was developed. That's why MES, you know, is doing more than just that.
So on a given day, tell our, because we have parents who, and we're getting some buzz off of Facebook. Don't worry, he will definitely tell you how to get a hold of him and do his services. But one of the questions that I just got from Facebook is, I bring my fifth grader to you, and I say he needs help with his spelling. You know, he's still phonemically spelling. Of course, now the parent may or may not say that he's still phonemically spelling. So take this fifth grader and explain to our audience that look like them coming into the programming and helping them succeed. What is that day? What does that look like?
Well, we first evaluate that child. You know, and it sounds like we could have prevented this with the school readiness class. Because phonics in the beginning, in pre-K to second grade, you are learning to read. Then after that, you're reading to learn. So around fifth grade, they're not really working on phonics anymore. And so what I would do is I would give him a baseline concept of print test to test him on his number of letter sounds and blends and things like that. And then I would test him on his reading comprehension. So it's two strands. You have decoding and you have reading comprehension. K-2 focuses mostly on decoding, sounding things out, spelling. After second grade, they focus on comprehension skills such as mean idea, inferencing. So I would give him a test on those, a concept of print evaluation, also a reading comprehension evaluation. I would test reading level, develop a game plan from there with the tutor.
Okay. Now, it does sound like a prescription, and you say, here's the script, and this is what you need to do with it. So now, are you finding that educational-wise, is it gender-based where you have more of, you know, somebody lacking? Are the boys lacking more than the girls, or do you see it roughly about even?
Well, early years, you know, boys develop more than girls. So in the early years, we tutor more boys. But there, you know, are some young ladies that also need tutoring. In the early years, I see a difference, but after that, it's equal.
Do you also find that with, I guess, as the kids get older, do you see the older kids coming in and getting services, and they are successful?
Older children, I get usually students who are preparing to go to college. So they're preparing for the SATs and different standardized tests. And so mostly when I get those students there, they're nervous about standardized testing. I mean, standardized testing is an important part of education, but it's also, how do I say this? It's also a lot of tension and stress and anxiety towards these different tests. And so what we do is we try to break down, like, the language barrier, especially with African-American children. It takes children 4 to 10 years to learn standard academic English because of the linguistics of the linguistic variability between the house, your friends in school, the linguistic discontinuity where words mean, you know, one thing at home, with my friends, this same word means something different. And so while I understand that, MES understands that, but I don't think the schools take that into account. And so, you know, we have all these different programs for English language learners, but we really don't have programs for you know, African-Americans who are still having some language barriers based upon the history of this country and the way language has been passed down through generations.
Have you ever come across a child?
Sorry for giving you a deep answer like that.
Listen. If that's one thing that we get into here is you have to, because truth, truly does set you free, and knowledge is definitely power. So the more knowledge we can share amongst ourselves and others, it translates into a whole different arena and horizon
yes.
that we can get to. So no, that's fine. Have you ever had a child Have you ever had a child who has come through your services and not had the success that they thought that they would have? And if so,
yes.
what have you do to try to kind of push them?
Well, you know, we always see some sort of growth. As long as the tutoring is consistent, what I find is that parents, some parents, you know, they'll keep the tutoring until their child is on level, and then they'll drop the tutoring. And then at the same time next year, they're calling me back, saying,
right.
hey, my child is struggling. Well, you know, you drop the tutoring. And it's like almost like a cycle. So the tutoring has to be consistent. This is why we offer packages. And I prefer packages, you know, for my paying customers. And so we ask parents to pay a month up front so that we can develop a contract and we can be extremely consistent and guarantee growth. But when the tutoring sessions are inconsistent and they're, you know, when they're not sticking to the tutoring schedule, the parents are not sticking to the tutoring schedule, then I don't see the growth that I usually like to see. And so those are the examples where we didn't see growth. But for the most part, if you are getting one-on-one tutoring, you're going to receive strategies to increase your academic skills. I am trained to know almost every skill from K to 12. Every literacy strain, every math strain. I really take this education thing seriously.
If I don't know it,
I'll hire a tutor that knows it.
And see now, and you know what? You just said a mouthful because a lot of times, and you see it in the classrooms, you see it outside of too. If people don't know the answer. Instead of them saying, hey, I don't know the answer, but let me find out the source, you know, I think sometimes we get caught up with that in that prideful thing, like, oh, you know. Because it's funny, a lot of people do look at educators and think the educators know everything. I know I don't. I know. There's some days or if I don't know it or some days I may forget. I'm glad for Google. I'm glad for the dictionary. I'm glad
Absolutely.
For the encyclopedia to look it up because – hey, listen, I forget what I had for breakfast yesterday. So, I mean, you know, and it's good that you say that because, you know, educators, people do look at educators like, oh, well, you should know this. Well, listen, we were once students, too, and we're still students.
That's right.
We're more students of life, but students. We were once students, and not everything came to us easily. So now you have packages, and you don't have to get into the pricing, but just describe, because we have some parents who are kind of interested. I told you guys, he's going to tell you how to get a hold of them. If you have any questions, though, if you guys do have questions, those of you who are listening online, make sure that you keep shooting the questions and the comments, because we're getting a lot of response on Facebook. Just got one response to say congratulations. Thank you for
thank
helping
you.
Our children. And
oh,
we thank
you
for
you.
That. That's
thank you so
out of
much.
One of our listeners in Texas, so we appreciate that.
Thank you out there in Texas. And they're doing Freedom Schools out there, so thank you so much. I have great friends out there in Texas. And Hype Freedom School, it's a great organization out there.
All right, you heard that. You heard that, Texas. All right, so, I mean, you
all right, invite me out.
That's right, and you go on out. But those of you who are actually the callers that are listening, if you guys have questions or if you have a comment, by all means, press the number one and we'll get you right on. And, you know, you can join this conversation. So what do the package, you don't have to go into pricing, but what do the packages look like? What does that entail?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to, when we get off the air, I'm going to bring my son to you. So that's just, you know, that's just all. We talked about that earlier. He'll come in. You know, the summer is coming, and I know he doesn't want to do any work, and that's a lie because he's going to do some work. But you have folks who are coming in, And the summer is coming, you know, and a lot of us have to figure out what to do, because that's something that we talk about here too. July and August, we usually dedicate Hand and Footprints to what things, you know, people can do with their kids. So I'm looking, what kind of packages do you have?
What we do is it depends on the need of the child. And so if, let's say a child is really, really struggling, I'll usually do an 8 for $10. And so you'll pay for 8 sessions, and we'll give you 2 free sessions. And other one that we do is 6 for $7. And so you'll pay for and you'll pay for 6 tutoring sessions, and you'll get 1 free. So we look at a session as 2 hours.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. We do have a caller.
Okay. Hey.
Good morning, caller. Welcome.
Good morning, my sister. How are you?
Hey, my sister, the fabulous Darlene Lawrence, who has a show right here on Blog Talk Radio Through the Best Net called, tell the folks what the show is called, and then we're going to get into your question.
Yeah, it's not so much a question. I just wanted to, first of all, give some support. Number one, I think that this brother is doing a wonderful job.
Yeah.
Definitely what our people need in our community. You see tutoring, you know, commercials advertised on television, and I think for a lot, especially in our community, seems a little far-reached to have your child connect with that, you know, and probably so far expensive too. However, just to have someone that has taken this time and feel the need that you feel, brother, to have a tutoring service to help our children, because, you know, I'm not in the educational field, but I work with educators. And, you know, skip all that, dealing with my own family, you know, my children, my grandchildren. And, you know, it is very, very important. I know that if I would have known of your services when I was raising my granddaughter, I would probably be, you know, calling on them. So I'm definitely interested in getting the information so that I can pass it on as well.
Yeah, thanks. Wow, thank you. I really appreciate that. You're right. You know, this is why, you know, I looked at Sullivan, I looked at Huntington, and the prices are through the roof. And I can guarantee that we don't charge what they charge. You know, we charge a base rate. And I'm going to go ahead and give the price out, you know, because I want to keep this price right here. Even though, you know, people have suggested, hey, you need to lift the price. No, it has to be affordable. And so I only do $25 an hour.
$25
an hour. And then when you purchase a package, it's even lower than that. And
we
really believe in making things affordable. And another piece is having tutors that can relate to your child, all about relationships.
Wow, that is just awesome. It is awesome. And, you know, whenever I can get your information, I will definitely put it out there, because this is what we definitely need. We need this.
Okay, well, if you keep listening, I'll make sure I give you all my social media information, website, phone number.
Okay.
And you know, Darlene, you know I'm going to have it on my page, so... And you know how we do. Once the show is over, I'm going to put everything on the page. So please, by all means, and Marvin, at the end of the show, make sure that you put your information on the Hand Footprint page so that we can get that out there. And you just get to sharing. Thank you so much, my sister.
Thank you for calling.
And it's, you know, like you said, if you really want it, you'll find, like you said, if you can put the Jordans on them, you can find the $25 to try to help your kid. I mean, think about what we spend $25. I know for me, I spend that much fooling around in Starbucks, getting my coffees and lattes and then my frappuccino. So it's really not that expensive. I know there are some of us who are really struggling, but when it comes to our kids, I think we have to make the sacrifice. You know, I'm a firm believer in, if I have to eat my peanut butter and jelly sandwiches so that he gets what he needs and gets what's going to help him, then so be it. I mean, you, and the fact that you look like me, you know, you look like my son, that helps out a lot, because I think that's another reason why a lot of us shy away from getting the help that we need, because we do see all this stuff on TV, and it's like, and you call them up, and they want this, that, and other thing, and third, and be like, are you, all this money that I'm spending, are you really taking an interest in my little chocolate child? Mm-hmm. Are you really catering to my chocolate child, or is this the standard for everyone? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that's what people, you know, with you, and we thank you for having this service.
No,
we thank you so much for being out here for us, and we're definitely going to put it on the page so that everyone can make sure that they can get a hold of you, and you're definitely going to tell everybody how they can get a hold of you too. But I think a lot of times we look at other communities and how they succeed is because all of them have a collective mindset. All of them look the same. All of them kind of are within the same mentality of what they want, so they're able to help themselves. And I'm glad to see that you're out here and doing the work and putting your hand to the plow and helping our kids, because our kids need help. We need help, not even just our kids. The parents, we need help. The grandparents need help. The schools need help. Everyone needs help. We have to get back to the village mentality. Everyone
That's
else
right.
has this village mentality, except for those of us of color. Like, we're, listen, we all came from a village. We need to get back to that. And
That's
I thank
right.
you
Please
for
you
doing
village.
It. So now, go ahead and start telling folks how they can get a hold of you and how they can reach out to you for, you know, some services.
Well, the best way is by phone. And so I'll leave my phone number. My phone number is 267-575-3547. That's 267-575-3547. I'm going to say it one more time. 267-575-3547. You can always follow me on Instagram, Marvin's Education Services. You can also follow me on Facebook at Marvin's Education Services. You can follow me on Twitter, MESLLC, and my website is marvinseducationservices.com. And so those are the best ways you can reach me by phone. That's really the best way. But if you want to reach me through social media, you can go through Instagram, Facebook, Twitter.
All right. You can get a hold of him, guys. He's out there. So now the summer is coming, Marvin, and you have a lot of parents who are kind of scrambling around to see what their kids are going to do. Some kids are going to be fortunate enough to go to summer camp, and some kids are going to be home. You know, because parents have to work. We're not faulting the parents. You got to do what you got to do. You got to keep the lights on and the kids fed. What suggestions do you have if they can't come to you for tutoring and in a – what suggestions do you have for parents
read. Just, you know, the child should read at least 20 to 30 minutes a day, at least. There is research that's been done on summer reading loss. And so all of the great things that they learn during the year, they usually lose it, some of it during the summer. So it's important to read. You can't get them into a summer camp, which you should. Your best to get them into summer camp. You know, we are looking to do that by next year. We will have our summer camp up and running. But I know some great summer camps see it through. They have a summer camp. And so if you can't get them there, please make sure that you go and you visit the library. You have them go to the library. You buy them some books. You make sure that they read. There are also packages that you can buy, Summer Bridge books, which focuses on bridging the gap between one grade and the next. Read and more reading.
Get them the reading. And you know what I also tell folks too, especially like when I'm talking to younger parents and they're trying to, like I said, but they don't come with any manuals. You get this kid, and it's like you have to figure it out as you go along. I also say to the parents who are busy and who want to read with their kids or want to get their kids to read and don't want that battle of, oh, my. Simple things like putting the TV on mute and doing the closed captioning and you guys reading together. I know that sounds cheesy, but that's still reading, you know, and it gets them interested. And I think, to me, what I found is that it also stimulates the child's imagination. Even though you have the screen image, you have to make up the voices. And I even tell some of our parents, you know, pretend that you're the character and make up a funny voice. And it doesn't take a whole lot. It doesn't take a whole lot of time because, like I said, I know a lot of our parents are out there and they're busting their butts. They're doing the best that they can.
They are.
You know, and they're trying to spend as much time with their kids as they can. But it's not about how much time. It's really more about the quality. So those of you who are listening and those of you who are listening and you know who parents who are out there who are struggling and they're trying to do their thing for their kids and do right by their kids, please give them hints, give them help, give them suggestions. It doesn't hurt. The more people are educated, the better off we are, you know. And so the reading is the biggest thing. When you guys walk on the bus, you know, those of you who have to travel and drop your kids off on the bus every day, read the signs that are up, the bulletin boards that are up on the bus. Little things. But reading, like they say, is so fundamental. It's not even funny. It's not even funny how fundamental it is. Because, you know, as a society, that's kind of where, how they get us, you know, because they know, you know, somebody knows for some reason or another that we don't encourage reading for whatever reason.
To use reading score in PSSA, 34th grade reading score, 34th grade reading scores on standardized tests to budget on how many prison beds that they are building.
Say it again. Tell them again.
They use 3rd and 4th grade reading scores to budget on how many prison beds that they'll need in the future. And so that's how important it is.
And I tell my son, because he's at that stage now where he's a good reader, but he doesn't want to read. I don't know where he lost that thrill, because his father and I like to read. So sometimes it's a challenge. Tell him, you have two options. Read it and have fun with it, or don't read it and set yourself up for prison. Because he looked at me when I said that to him one day. I said, you're at that age now where they're gearing up for the prison and outfitting you for that prison gear. And he looked at me. I'm like, no, it's a dead, honest to God, goodness gravy truth. They are setting it up. So how many folks are we going to have in prison? Because, listen, prisons are big business. Now, not that I'm saying we don't need to put our criminals there, because some of our criminals need, you know, some folks need, but that's what they need to be. That's where they need to be, and that's where they're going to be. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is, if you can prevent certain things from happening in your life, then why not take the opportunity? And for you the parents out there, we have enough struggles as is. We don't need to help anybody. Help us along with our self-destruction.
Right.
Marvin, I'm telling you, I thank you so, so very much.
Thank you so very much for being on with us.
We got another response from one of our Facebook. This is out of Ohio. Thank you so much. I never even thought about just getting out to read during the summer, because I can't find, she's saying, I can't find a camp because all of them are booked. So I've been trying to scramble. She's saying, I've been trying to scramble around, looking around what I'm going to do. But going to the library, we have a library right across the street from our house.
Yep,
all right, sis. Get on out
there.
That's right.
Go to that library.
Go to that library. That's right. And if those of you who have kids and you have older kids, make them all go. Take them as a little field trip, you know, and have a little picnic. Do something creative if you're able to do it. Little simple things. They can pack, you know, pack them a brown bag lunch. So I'm going across the street, go to the library. Do different things. I think if the kids see you excited about what they're doing, they'll be excited to do. Like, oh, well, I want to please mom, or I want to please dad. I want to make grandma proud.
That's right.
If you show them the excitement, then, I mean, 9 times out of 10, the kids are going to get excited too.
That's right.
Again,
teaching has to be hired in the household.
Yep, it has to. It has to. It has to. It has to. Because if you don't want your kids to have to work like how you work, then you have to tell them there's something better. Tell the folks before we get off again how they can get a hold of you.
My number is 267-575-3547. That's 267-575-3547. Also, I didn't mention, my name is Marvin Dutton on Facebook. M-A-R-V-I-N. D-U-T-T-O-N. And so you can reach out to me on my phone or on social media. That is usually the best way.
Now, where is your tutoring service located in the city?
So as of right now, my tutoring service is a mobile service where we'll come out to your home or to the local library. But moving forward, my office is located 2501 Kensington Avenue, and we're in the process of moving, Sankofa process of moving based in that school. So we'll be moving from Frankfurt to Kensington Avenue, 2501 Kensington Avenue, and it's a huge building, and I'm glad that they are moving. So we are moving right now. So we should be there probably about a month for relocating. But we will come.
And once you move, that'll be the primary location. Will you still be doing mobile, or will it just be the primary location?
We'll do both.
Okay.
The community. Yes, we'll do both. We'll do mobile, and you can come to us.
All right. If you all don't want to have him come to your house, that's okay. Find out where your local library is. There's no excuse.
Right.
There's absolutely no excuse. He's mobile, and those of you who can get around the city, he's in Kensington. That's all. Listen, you know, those of us who travel on SEPTA, you know that's nothing but the L. You can get there.
And it's gated.
You can definitely get
there.
The
school is gated. So, 2501 Kensington Avenue. They'll come. You can come right on in, and we'll go from there.
Marvin, if there's one thing that you want to leave with our audience today, what's that one thing that you want to leave with them, the one nugget?
I just want to let you know that, you know, no matter who you are, your child deserves a fair education. Your address does not determine your child's success. Your zip code does not determine your future. I'm here to help. You know, the tutoring is extremely affordable, and I'm working extremely hard to provide even more affordable programs and free programs. So you can do it. Stay motivated and stay positive.
All right. So you all heard that. Listen, again, Marvin, thank you so much. Congratulations on your award.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming. Thank you. Don't forget to post your stuff on the page. Those of you who want his services, go and like the Hand and Footprints page so that you can get all the information that you need. Like it and get your information and use it. If you have any questions or comments, you can email me at themsrrikkijones@gmail.com. I'm also on Twitter at Ricky Jones. I'm on Facebook at Ricky Jones. I'm on Instagram, and I'm on Google+. Have a fantastic Saturday. Make sure that you're doing everything that you can to help your kids out. If it's not like breathing, don't do it. Marvin, thank you so much. Guys, have a great Saturday. Help your kids. Get them what they need. It doesn't matter where you are. Just get it for them. Take care, guys.